Hello and welcome to Contemplations. And today we are going to be understanding America. I'm going to be Brit-splaining to everyone the nature of America in a similar way to my Understanding Europe episode where me and Stelios broke down European countries using maps. I'm going to be doing the same thing with America. I have been to America before, albeit a long time. And I've been also trying to make sure I know all of the US states so I don't mix them up. Because in the Understanding Europe one, I accidentally mixed up Austria and Slovakia once or twice, even though I know the difference. And yes, the shame has followed me since. But today I am joined by Harry and Stelios.
Hello.
Who are going to be my partners in derision. Yes, this is going to be jokey, but you will learn something, even if you are American. And I suppose we may as well start, because of course I've mentioned that I've done the Europe thing, with a map of America. Here it is. Nothing too surprising here. Everything where it should be. These are the US states. And I took a quiz before doing this and I was able to place them all on the map. I got 50 out of 50 correct. So if I do make a mistake, it's just me misremembering. I do know the difference.
If Josh doesn't know where a state is, it's because it's not worth remembering.
That's right. Already starting off on a low point. So one thing that I think is quite interesting about America is all of the different ancestries that you get from America, because of course it was, you know, largely English people, but these are self-identified ancestries. And so sort of in the north, there's lots of German there from Washington and Oregon all the way over to Pennsylvania. Then New York, you've got Italian. That's not a good accent. And then sort of New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, you've got lots of Irish. Maine is English. Then Oklahoma's the only one that identifies as American Indian. Maybe that's where Elizabeth Warren is from. I can't actually remember which state she represents. And then, unsurprisingly...
Then we have a Reconquista going on.
Yes.
Down in the southern and western states there. Mm.
All of those Mexicans, what have they got across the border? Yeah. What's happened here?
And then across from Arizona through to Georgia and Virginia, we have the hotspot for gun violence. Illiteracy. Oh, wait, no.
African Americans.
Yes, that's what I was going for.
Yeah, that's what they like to be called now. So, anything surprising here? The only states, by the way, which I thought was interesting, that self-identified as being of United States ancestry were Tennessee and Kentucky. So the true American states there that don't claim ancestry to elsewhere.
My big surprise looking at this map, because I saw a variation of it the other day where it actually went through county by county with the same color scheme, was how little of America is, or at least self-identifies as, of English ancestry. And how much of it is German? Because I know that there was a huge influx of German migration in the mid-19th century. I didn't realize that it had stretched out that far and was that pervasive.
Well, this is also self-identified ancestry as well. So, you know, you could have someone who's got like an Irish great-great-great-great-grandfather and they're like, yeah, I'm Irish.
Yeah, because, and I'm surprised that, I knew that Maine would be, I didn't know that the most of the rest of New England would say, no, I'm Irish, actually. I'm shocked that Idaho and Utah, because they're so far west, have so many people identifying themselves as English, although obviously the Oregon Trail put a lot of people out to the west like that. But I think I remember reading somewhere that a recent actual DNA test of a lot of Americans surprised many of the people that probably would have been asking this and identifying themselves as German, and found that a lot of them were actually more English than German.
I'm not surprised, to be honest, because a lot of the original settlers were obviously English. And so the earlier you settle in a place, the more your genes have an effect on it. That's part of the way in which we can trace migrations throughout Europe and Asia, is that we trace the genetics and therefore we can follow the migration route. What do you think of this, Stelios?
I'm just listening now.
Okay, we've got a live listener here.
No, I mean, when you're saying self-identified ancestry, that's the main question that I have. If it's just people who say, well, my grandfather was from this place, so I identify with that place. don't know what more it entails.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit unclear to me. It's also
interesting that in the United States, it's often framed in this way, isn't it? Because my dad's Scottish, like genetically, and he lived there. And I wouldn't say I'm Scottish. I'd say I'm English because I grew up in England, right? And so I'm surprised there aren't more people saying, well, I'm from the United States. No, I understand the ancestry question. I think it's a point of interest for Americans. Just, oh, what background do you have? Because it differentiates them, and therefore it's something interesting to say, isn't it?
Well, it's an interesting question. Has there been any form of ethnogenesis of the United States? Is there anybody in the United States who can call themselves as some kind of new genetic concoction? In a similar way that the English can, and the Scottish can say that they have mixed ancestry from particular Celtic and Germanic tribes, is there something similar in the US? Because there is a bit of a meme of the, and this is just something that I've heard. I'm not using it in a derogatory way, even though it says there's the Amerimut meme, where you ask people in America, what's your background? What's your ancestral background? And they say, oh, well, I've got English, Irish, Scottish, Welsh, French, German, Scandinavian.
Well, I mean, Greek, I've got all of Romanian. Those things until you got to Greek anyway.
And then they basically name every country in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and say, that's where I get my ancestry from. So would they count themselves as a unique blend of European ancestry that creates a new thing, the United States ethnicity? Or is it like here that we see people concretely defining themselves as still being of a particular place in Europe, even if they have been geographically separated from him?
I think that this is an interesting question, but at the end of the day, you could say that almost all nations have been generated like that from the blending of people who came from very different places. So when we're talking about, when a lot of people are talking about people from the US who start calling themselves American, they're saying you're a propositional nation. You're not a nation in the other sense. Well, I think that we are forgetting that not every nation is on the same stage in its trajectory. Some nations are more, you know, in their infant stage. Others have thousands of years of history. So it doesn't say much to me that people from particular points, they can look on the map of Europe and the world and say that I come from all these different places. But I still call myself American, because the metaphysics of nations is notoriously vague.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I bring up the question if only because of the fact that ethnicity in places like New York, for instance, is still a big question for people, where people will identify themselves as primarily being, as we see here, Italian.
Well, Andrew Cuomo, when he was accused of being a bit touchy with one of his assistants, said, hey, I'm Italian.
And you know what? That's a legitimate argument, I would say. But it also asks the question of, because I think in debates that I've seen him had, E. Michael Jones, of all people, pointed out that in the pre-1965 condition that America was in before they really opened up the borders to mass immigration from non-European and non-Nordic, really, nations, that America was still heavily divided by ethnicity, where you would have one neighborhood where they would say, for instance, oh, I'm a Romanian neighborhood, or one neighborhood where you say, oh, these people are all Irish, these people are all Italian. People still distinctly grouped themselves in that way. And I've never been to America, so I'd be interested if commenters want to let me know if that's still the case, or if genetically speaking, there's been enough intermixture to have created its own uniquely American product.
Well, there are rural towns in America that still speak German to each other. So that it depends where you're talking about, really. But yeah. I think that
and on that, it'd be interesting, because America is such a large and geographically varied place, and we can see there the belt across the southeastern part of the country. Where do the Black Americans fall into that? Because a lot of Black Americans can lay claim to ancestry that goes far, far further back than a lot of white Americans that have been living there.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if their ancestors were brought over as slaves, they can say that they've been there since at least the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the Englishmen and other people who brought them over there as well. Where does all of this fit in? Because it's such a new nation. How does all of this go together?
Well, I think one thing that might help us understand it as well, is disentangling more recent migration as well, because we've got here second languages spoke.
I love that you have to exclude not only English, but Spanish.
Well, of course.
Because you know that so much of the South would just be Spanish if you didn't exclude it.
Yes. So here we have still a decent smattering of German in, you know, the sort of northerly states. Interesting that Michigan has Arabic.
And why is Dakota? Is that a language?
Minnesota has Somali.
South Dakota has Dakota as a language.
I think it's the Dakota as in Native American, because you've got Navajo down in New Mexico and Arizona.
I didn't know that they were a distinct tribe.
You've got Vietnamese in sort of some of the southern states, and Chinese, French in Louisiana, unsurprising. Korean there, random German stronghold there. I think
Somali in Minnesota.
That's in South Carolina.
I'm repeating it.
South Carolina, yeah. Wait, Gujarati in New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
Portuguese up there. It's interesting. Haitian Creole. So there's quite a mix there. You got Polish in Illinois. And Vietnamese up there in Oregon, and Chinese. I think...
But once again, we know that for most of these southern states, like Texas, like New Mexico, Arizona, all of those bits where it's really deep blue, for a total share that speaks any language other than English at home, that's all going to be Spanish.
Of course.
That's going to be Mexicans who've just crossed the border.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Spanish wins every time, doesn't it, really?
Mm. I mean, in some of those places, school districts are having to switch their primary teaching language to being Spanish because more people speak it than English.
And a controversial one, this is 2018, states that were accepting refugees. So that's also going to change the second language somewhat there. Washington, quite high, considering it's not close to the southern border. Ohio, quite high. Obviously, New York, Texas, California. Somewhat unsurprising.
So,
but
some of these southern, northern states, are they accepting Canadians or something?
I think they're probably taking them from the southern border more than anything else. But I just wanted to throw that in there just as a bit of an afterthought. But here's the share of the population born outside of the US. So the East Coast has quite a lot. Florida, Texas, California, Nevada, Washington as well, Illinois and Arizona and Georgia, but maybe Virginia as well. But a lot of the others haven't really had as large a share as that. They've not necessarily seen as much of a, I suppose, change in, at least when this was published, I think.
I was going to say, these will be official figures as well. Who knows how many undocumented managed to get through and slip through the nets.
Mm-hmm. So, here is the most common country of birth for foreign-born residents. And of course,
oh no!
Excluding Mexico.
There's a brown wave sweeping over America.
You've noticed an increase in public defecation in certain states. You know where it's come from.
This is the future that Vivek wants. Imagine this map, but all of it's India.
Mm-hmm. You've got Vietnam in Oklahoma there, and... I believe that's Mississippi. So interesting that they're moving. I imagine they might have been Vietnamese who had come from Vietnam, who fought alongside the American troops rather than against. You got the Somalis up in, I had to double check there, Minnesota. Bunch of Canadians, as one might expect.
I do like that there's... an opposite Reconquista going on from the north, where presumably either the French or British Canadians are deciding it's time to take it back. Boys.
Yeah, the unspoken Canadian invasion of America has been
going on
for
right
too long.
Beneath your noses.
The Philippines has clearly invaded Alaska, California, Nevada there. Germans are taking over New Mexico. I think they got lost on their way to Argentina.
We've got a Chinese communist outpost in Massachusetts.
I knew it. Dominica, apparently popular in New York for some reason. I think, is that El Salvador there? Virginia and
El Salvador. I wouldn't be shocked if they start to go home now.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no more MS-13. Brilliant.
Got Guatemalans in Alabama, unsurprisingly as well. You got Cubans in Florida. I mean, that's a pretty short journey for them, isn't it?
Anybody could have told you that one.
Yeah. Take a dinghy across, can't they? They're like our Middle Easterners. But yes, I was quite surprised by this one. I didn't know there were so many Indians, but here we are. You're getting a similar treatment, America, to Britain, in that you're going to be nothing but Indian soon enough. So one way of understanding how populations are distributed around America is looking at light pollution and maps of light pollution, because these are good because they show you sort of urban density as well, sort of indirectly, in the fact that the sort of red sort of, what's the point? A center of something called. I've forgotten the word for some reason. I know what it is. That'll do. The sort of nuclei of cities here are in red, and then it goes yellow and then green towards the edges. And of course, the darker parts are where.
I think if you wanted to have a word for the center of cities, you could have just said the city centers.
Yeah, that'd be too easy, wouldn't it? That's,
don't get fancy.
You want to put urban centers.
Yes. But as you can see, the East Coast, the sort of east half of America, is far more populated than the West, I suppose. And of course, that part in the middle is quite the difference between the rest of it, isn't it? Because of course, you've got...
you have the Rocky Mountains, don't you?
Of course, yeah. And I think that might well be the dividing line there. I mean, shoot me if I'm wrong, but it seems like that's the cutoff, isn't it? But another way of looking at it is this. This is the Nobody Lives Here map. And the colors in green are where nobody lives. And I think it's just land that isn't residential, I suppose.
I'd imagine a lot of it in the southwest will be desert.
I would imagine so. And I imagine lots of those areas of Alaska are just very cold, very rural. No one really wants to live there. But this is just sort of showing the inverse of the light pollution map, I suppose. But let's get on to the fun stuff. Now I've gone over some of the obligatory stuff.
Ooh. Tom Harwood's just looking at this map and going, God, imagine the houses we could build.
Just concrete over the whole thing, build lots of houses. Although this isn't a problem for America because they've got lots of land. They're not nearly as population dense as we are.
Yeah, there is Europe. A part of me that looks at something like that and yearns to homestead.
Yes, I mean, look at all that unspoilt land that America has. Aren't they lucky? I sounded sarcastic, but that's jealousy. I'm not used to that emotion, but yes.
Europe and Britain in particular is incredibly densely populated, so we don't really get that same spread of untamed land.
I think we're one of the more densely populated. I got this wrong once on a podcast segment, and loads of people were like, it's the Netherlands. They got very mad about it.
Yeah, but the Netherlands is like that big.
It's not quite as big as Britain, is it? And sort of population density-wise.
It has a big population, I think around 15 million, though.
Yeah. 50, did you say?
15.
Oh, 15, okay. I was going to say, they've been at it, those Dutch, if it was 50. So let's get on to some of the fun stuff. Here are the most annoying animals in every state.
Finally, I can understand the American mind.
And I'm going to start with Florida because, let's be honest, that's the most unsurprising one of them all, alligators.
Hell is a no-see-um?
So I looked this up. It's a midge to you and I.
Oh,
what is that under cockroaches?
You might have a camera in the way, in which case that's going to look very incriminating. That's a harvest.
Okay, don't say it. Don't say it.
That's a harvest mite. That's what we call it in Britain.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know whether there's even a Greek equivalent there, but you know. Harvest mite is a bug.
But let's just take the deers out of the way.
Yes.
A friend's mother lives in West Virginia, and she is around 2 hours away from the nearest police station. So she's just in the middle of nowhere. And she says every now and then that, you know, you have deer jumping through the street. It's very dangerous.
Yeah. We get lots of deer down my neck of the woods in Britain, down in Devon, because we've got a large national park. They tend to flourish, I suppose, down that way.
Yeah,
but they don't really cause many problems other than eating new growth.
No, but they can just jump and
car
into
accidents.
Cars.
Yeah, that's the main issue.
I think I saw a deer jumping into a bush recently, which I found very unusual. But
you see them all the time around Wiltshire as well.
On what Stelios was saying, the sheer size of America for somebody from Britain is quite remarkable to try and wrap your head around. I'm only going off of the reports of people who I know who've been to America, but my dad's friend went there one time and was going to see, appropriately, a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert in Texas. And he
That's like going to the heart of the most American thing ever. Did he eat like a burger or flames?
I can only hope he was planning on getting the Confederate flag tattooed on him somewhere on the way. But he was going there and he was using a map and he was kind of assuming, looking at the map, that it would be to British proportions when you're looking at all of the size of the roads and everything. And he stops off at a petrol station so that he can fuel up, and he's there and he goes, okay, I'm going to this small town or city where they're playing, and it's been taking us ages to get there. How long will it take us to get there? And the guy looks at him and goes, dude, that's 5 hours away. Oh, okay, well, the gig's in 2 hours, so I guess we're not getting there in time then.
Well, that's got a sad ending.
Yeah, it was quite a sad ending. But once again, it's just because we're not used to that sheer scale over here.
Mm-hmm. So in Louisiana, you have nutrias, which are similar to beavers, but they've got a sort of tail like a muskrat. They're sort of like aquatic groundhogs. I don't know how else to describe
and
them.
And right next door, if you go to Mississippi, you've got to worry about being bitten by the love bugs.
Yeah. I presume that's another nickname for some kind of annoying insect. Palmetto bug, next door in Georgia. And
where are the ticks?
Which one is that again? Alabama. I don't know why I'm missing that.
The ticks appear to be in, I think that's Maryland and the District of Columbia.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ticks tend to be more difficult in, they're like parasites that will cling onto you and suck your blood. Similar to
like leeches.
Like a leech, but they're sort of more beetle-like.
Disgusting.
But I've had loads of them camping in Britain, and you can get Lyme disease, which is quite nasty, and it can last for months, if not years, and it brings you out in big red marks. So it makes sense that they're a nuisance. Raccoons is up there as well.
Prairie dogs.
Actually, I was mistaking the color. There are lots of different colors of blue. I think it was raccoons for Alabama and Georgia, and it was actually palmetto bugs, which is a kind of cockroach, I think, in South Carolina.
They know Texas has such a problem with cockroaches. It sounds like, you know, monsoon stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's the hot weather, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I can believe it. I like that New Mexico has an infestation of roadrunners. The Acme company must do gangbusters there.
Wile E. Coyote is voted repeatedly in New Mexico.
We need to solve the roadrunner problem.
Then you've got scorpions in Nevada and Arizona, California. I'm not sure. Oh, seagulls. Okay. As someone who grew up by the sea, if you can't get along with seagulls, you don't know how to live by the sea.
No, I understand.
Like, they target
the hate.
Tourists.
I understand the hate.
They're horrible creatures, but once you know how to deal with them, like if they steal your food, then you're...
Stole my sausage roll once when I was in Falmouth.
It's bad seagull etiquette. You need to hunch over.
I
you
had
need to
just
use your...
stepped out of the pastry shop and it flew straight into my head and nicked half my sausage
that
roll.
That is the southwesterly tourist tax.
It bloody kamikaze'd me.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, they have no etiquette. I've literally watched them devour whole...
Children.
No, lots of food.
Chihuahuas.
On plates and stuff. Mm-hmm.
So we've also got mosquitoes, which makes perfect sense. Canadian geese, they're nasty, aren't they?
I've never seen a Canadian goose.
Idaho, Illinois. You've never seen a Canadian goose?
Not that I'm aware.
We get them all the time here.
I saw one in Canada.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's the place to see them.
Are they particularly distinctive? Might I have seen one?
They've got like a black head and a lighter body, and also they're very aggressive. I remember fishing. Minding my own business, I had a back to a lake and a Canada goose bit me on the arse as a child.
Well, that's
I didn't even know it was there.
Hanging your arse off the boat, isn't it?
It felt like someone put a really strong clothes peg on me.
I've been bit by geese before when I've been a bit too ambitious when feeding them bread and seeds and stuff, but never on the arse.
What's the most annoying animal of North Dakota and Minnesota?
They're deer again.
And Wisconsin. No, it's not a deer.
North Dakota is deer.
No, it's not. Yeah, it is.
Minnesota is mosquitoes.
Mm.
No,
Wisconsin as well.
Minnesota is just what is under cockroaches.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No, that's...
No, it's mosquitoes, yeah.
That is in Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Chigas.
Very careful there. I think they're pronounced slightly differently. I'm not going to risk it because that's too close to a word that will never allow me to work again. So, less controversial. Here are cats and dogs. So, the preference for pets, more generally, I suppose. So, the south is more dog, and the coast and the north are more cats.
So, the more European you are, the more you like cats. The more Mexican you are, the more you like dogs.
Mm-hmm. Because the Mexicans grew dogs to eat them, didn't they? Well,
wow, that makes sense.
So, yeah, they see their dog. Like, mm.
I'm surprised there's not a dog outpost in Massachusetts with all of those communists up there.
This one, there's
nothing
not really
to do
much
with
to
hot
say.
Dogs.
No. Not this guy back here.
Sorry, just I love it. He's just about to devour your head.
That's right. He's got his work cut out. I've got a big head. So here we are. Here's each state's least favorite Thanksgiving food.
Where did you find these absurd factoids?
The internet. It's okay. Wonderful. Trigger warning for Harry. One state answered gravy here.
Never visiting Nebraska. Then again, American gravy is different.
That is true. Aware.
American gravy is some kind of white sludge that you put on food, which is blasphemous.
Yeah, gravy's got to be, it's got to taste like meat.
Yes, it's got to come directly from meat. It's basically the off-runnings when you're actually cooking a nice roast for yourself.
Mm-hmm. We get very patriotic about gravy in Britain. You know, if it wasn't right for tea, so. We'd be drinking it by the gallon.
I find it interesting that Utah and a few other states don't like turkey.
It's very dry, to be fair. I mean, when I have turkey at Christmas.
You might not have had turkey done properly then, because
I've had it done. I mean, it can be done nicely, and I've had it done properly, but I just find other things are better. Like, I prefer duck to turkey.
It's like me with beef. Like, this is no shade on my father, but I always thought for a long time that I hated roast beef and never had it if I had the choice, because my dad used to make the driest roast beef in history for Sunday roast. And then I had roast beef outside of the house and found it's one of the most delicious cuts of meat that you can have. Yeah, so, sorry, Dad. Your
beef is number one.
Your roast beef was dreadful. I'm sorry.
I must say, I absolutely adore cranberry sauce.
I tend not to have it very much. Is it present in Greece? These are quite...
I just go and buy it separately.
Okay.
I adore it.
I like cranberries more generally. Green bean casserole, I can understand. You know, green beans are okay, but they're not necessarily ideal. Sweet potatoes are just like regular potatoes, but more disappointing. Stuffings or dressing, I don't know whether it's done differently in America, but stuffing in Britain is fantastic.
No. I don't have it very often, but it is very nice.
And a roast dinner. Oh. Pumpkin pie. Yeah, I feel like pumpkin suits soup. So Idaho, I understand your plight. But I thought this was interesting because there's a lot of state diversity here. I suppose it harkens back to traditions that I probably don't understand because I've never attended a Thanksgiving before, funnily enough. We're all very ungrateful in Britain, you see. So here's another one. Every state's favorite quarantine activity. And this was quite interesting. The degenerate libertarians in New Hampshire, the only state to answer it, masturbation.
It truly is your homeland, really.
Yes. Sleeping, I think, is probably my real answer here. Sleeping and reading.
No, I see,
so Alaska, Vermont.
I see a few answers on here that line up with you quite nicely, but I won't say
drinking.
Which.
Eating is a fun one.
Hiking and walking, that's wholesome. I suppose in Washington and Idaho and New Mexico, you've got some nice sort of rural areas.
Colorado is blazing it.
Well, they legalized it, didn't they? So a bunch of stoners there. Who was eating? Oh, wait, it was Louisiana. When we get on to, once we get onto the obesity statistics, I think that holds up.
Oh, dear.
What's that?
Well, yeah, eating, given the epidemic of obesity in America. I think that's, is that Mississippi and Missouri?
Yes, I think so, yeah, you're right.
And also some of the northeastern states.
New York
as well.
Maine, I think we're eating. Connecticut and Minnesota playing video games. Or I also did a lot of that, so I respect that. Illinois, lots of puzzles and games for some reason. That's
Indiana, actually.
Illinois next door. I'd said I'd get one wrong, and I even knew the difference between the two as well. So there we are.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.